Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. You think about wisdom and you think, what is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, knowledge is knowing that something is true. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge, is how to apply that knowledge.
Jesus, you're my everything. My heart beats for you, filled with power and mystery. Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, we conclude this two-part study titled, Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
I was reading about these four people in the church. Maybe you've heard of these four people. The church, they were named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. And there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but instead, nobody did it. Somebody got angry about this because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. And who's on first? But it's a true thing. You know, a lot of times we think that way. There is a reason for the gifts, and there's an extent to the gifts. It says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So here's what we see, is that each and every Christian has received a gift. Now, I say Christian, you need to be born again. If you're not saved today, if you're not born again yet, you don't have a gift of the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't give his gifts to people who don't know him. But once you know him, he can give you a gift or gifts, and each and every one. It says to each one for the profit of all. Paul doesn't make any exclusion. And it's for the benefit of every one of us. This is why tongues is the least of the gifts. Because Paul will say in another place, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. And so which gift is the most important gift? Whichever one is edifying the church. And that could be at any given time a different gift. We need each other. Here's the thing. I need you to exercise your spiritual gifts. When you exercise your spiritual gifts, it fulfills the church, the body. And I, by the way, am blessed to see that that's happening in our church tremendously. But I want to see it happen more, and I want each and every one of you. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants, I know the Holy Spirit wants each and every one of you to serve and to experience what it is to be used by the work of the Spirit in your giftings. See, we need you. So I encourage you to serve the Lord. The body of Christ needs you. This local body, Cornerstone, needs you. This Sunday school needs you, if that's your calling. The nursery needs you. And they call really loud back there. Cleaning crew on Saturday morning needs you. The outreach team goes out on Saturday and needs you. The relief team needs you, and other many, many other things. And I'm sure I missed some. There's ministry opportunities and places to serve. The usher crew needs you. We need you guys. And serving the Lord is what it's about. Now, there's limitations because we don't all have all the gifts. In verses 29 and 30, Paul rhetorically asked this question. He said, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all have all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Obviously not. Not everyone has every gift. In fact, there's not anyone, I believe, that has every single gift. Some have some gifts. Others have other gifts, but that's why it's the body. And Paul's going to talk later in this chapter about the body and how the body needs to work in conjunction with the rest of the body. You see? And if part of the body's not working right, it impacts the whole body. I've experienced this in the past few weeks. I had a root canal done. I had broken a tooth, and they had to go in and do a root canal. And, you know, I've had that before, and it was never any big deal, but somehow this was a worse infection, and it's way up in my cheek. And so I've had pain for 2 weeks. I've been taking pain medication, and I hate taking pain medication. But this little tiny area of my body is affecting my whole body. So I'm really grumpy. You wouldn't want to be around me these days when that pain starts to come. You could ask my wife. She'll be glad to tell you. Grumpy. You know, it's kind of like you think, well, there's parts of the body that aren't that important, like my little toe. But you know, your little toe is really important for balance. And if it fell off or broke off, you'd have to learn to walk all over again. Every part of the body is important. And Paul's going to get into that even more so. But here he gets into now the diversity of these gifts. He says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. You think about wisdom and you think, what is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, knowledge is knowing that something is true. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge. It's how to apply that knowledge. And you know, applying that knowledge, you can know things, but the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to apply it wisely. Solomon had great knowledge, but he also had great wisdom. You know the story of the two women who came with the baby, both claiming that that baby was theirs. And Solomon, with great wisdom that God gave him at that very moment, said, okay, let's take the baby and cut the baby in two. And of course, the true mother stopped him and said, no, let her have the baby. And then he knew who the mother was. See, that's wisdom. And the Holy Spirit can give you a word of wisdom for someone where God, you know, you know something about their life and God gives you a word of wisdom to be able to help them apply things in their life. Now, we need to be careful with these things of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, because we can go around start thinking every time we hear a problem in somebody's life, oh, the Lord's going to give me a word of wisdom for you. But there are occasions where he does give us the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge can be knowing something about someone's life that they did not tell you, and you just have this knowledge, there's just something going on, and you go to them and say, you know, are you struggling with thus and such? And they're like, they look at you and like, how did you know that? Who told you? I mean, I'll be preaching sometimes, and I believe the Lord gives me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. There's times because afterwards people will come to me and say, were you like in my house reading my mail? And I'm like, no, you know, just the Holy Spirit. What made you talk about this thing, they'll say. And many times it's something that wasn't even in my notes. I mean, it's not something, or it'll be something I didn't say in first service, but I'll say it in third service. It's not always a planned thing, and the Holy Spirit will give you that word of wisdom or word of knowledge for someone. Now, this can be a little freaky, right? Sometimes we think, you know, well, that freaks me out that I would know something about someone or God would give me the word of knowledge about someone, word of wisdom. That's freaky. Well, yeah, it can be in a sense, but really, why should it be? Why should it freak us out? Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about the third person of the triune God who knows everything that you're thinking about right this moment. He knows everything that every one of us is thinking about, what's going on in our head. He knows that your stomach's starting to growl and you're thinking about lunch. Now, I just put that thought in your mind. That was terrible. But he knows these things. And if he knows these things and he's the Holy Spirit of God, why would we think that he can't take that thing that he knows and plop it into somebody else's brain so that they could know it about you too? And sometimes these word of wisdom and word of knowledge things get kind of stretched into this thing where this guy's on TV and he says something like, you know, I know there's somebody out there has a cold. Well, look, you know, you got enough people watching TV, there's going to be people who have a cold. You know, that's crazy. But he says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So faith and healings. Here, the gift of faith. Some people just have the gift of faith. They just can believe God. You know, the story of Robert Mueller is an incredible one where he never asked for money from anyone in his whole ministry, and he fed thousands and thousands of orphans, never asking for a single dollar from anyone or taking anything from any organization, just each and every day, each and every week, just trusting the Lord, and God would just bring stuff and drop it in his lap. I think of Courtney going back to India. You know, here's this young woman who has shared with us, who's been right here in front of you, who grew up in New Jersey, who was going to go into fashion, the fashion world. Can you imagine? She was going to be like either a model or a work in the fashion industry in New York City. She was going to school in New York City in the fashion industry. God calls her and initially called her to go to Africa for 6 weeks or 10 weeks. Then she goes to India for 6 months, and this is now going to be her fourth trip to India for another 6 months. She doesn't even think she's American anymore. I mean, you hear her talk, she sounds more and more Indian every time she talks. She has a gift of faith. Let me tell you, I don't have the faith to live in India. First of all, I hate curry, and the whole country smells like curry. So I don't have the faith. I cannot live there. But you have to have the faith to do that. She has the gift of faith. Another young woman in our congregation is heading off to Romania for a month. She has the gift of faith to go to Romania. She's going to Bucharest, Romania. My daughter lived there for 4 months. It's one of the darkest places on planet Earth. And she's going there for a month. I challenged her. I said, are you sure God's told you to go to Romania? Look, we can send you to Haiti for 10 days. Why don't you do that? No, no, no. God has spoken to my heart and told me to go to Romania. I'm not going to tell her not to. She's got that gift of faith. You see? Willingness to take steps of faith. That's when God just gives you a faith to step forward and to do what he tells you to do. Gifts of healing. Now, some part of the church doesn't believe in healings for today. I absolutely believe that God heals today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes he heals supernaturally, miraculously, and sometimes he chooses to heal through the medical profession, and sometimes he chooses not to heal. And I don't always understand those things because there are people that I think he should heal. I think of Vivian Jones. You know, she had cancer for years. Wonderful saint, was ministering to people, touching people's lives. Why do you want to take her? That doesn't make sense to me. But the Lord knows. You see, he's sovereign over these things. But he chooses also to heal through the medical profession. I mean, look, a doctor did brain surgery on my wife. It went into her head, took a piece out, went in and fixed it. Cut pieces out and closed it back up, and she's walking around, she's fine. That is a miracle. That can only happen because God gives men the ability to understand that. That's a gift of healing. But then there are miraculous healings. I mentioned in prayer today my friend Jeff Newman. My friend Jeff was a pastor for many years, and his wife became schizophrenic, so he had to leave the ministry. And then he started to have mini strokes. He had problems with his carotid artery. And he had these mini strokes. Then he had cancer of the throat. Then he had, while he was on the table being worked on with carotid artery surgery, he had a massive heart attack. And he had open heart surgery. And he was he almost died like 3 times. Then because of this, then after the carotid artery surgery, he had 2 strokes. And he went blind. This guy is Job. You know, he's a modern-day Job, in a sense. And he's had all kinds of problems, and he had all kinds of pain in his body from all the surgeries he had, so he's gotten addicted to Oxycontin from taking too many meds. And now he's come back to the Lord. You know, he struggled with his walk with God, obviously, just questioning the Lord why this is all happening to him. His wife and he still are not together. He's gone through all these things. But he asked the Lord, Lord, I'll come back to you. I want to come back to you, but I can't read your word. He couldn't read the Bible for 4 years because he was blind in both eyes. I mean, he could see shadows a little bit, but he couldn't really see and could not see to even watch TV or anything or read or anything. And so one night he was watching one of these shows on, and it said, you know, there's someone out there who's blind and needs a healing. And he's just like desperate, like, Lord, I'll take anything. I don't care if their theology's messed up. I just want to be healed, you know. And so he received that. The next morning, he woke up and he looked across the room and he could see with one eye. And little by little, that eye got better in the next few days. So now he can read the word again. And then his second eye started to come back. And his ophthalmologist, who is a secular Jew, said to him, there's only one explanation for this. It's a miracle. Because he said, your eyes were dead. They were not coming back. You see, God still heals today. And, you know, we see these things and miracles, you know, a miracle of a young woman who is told she'll never get pregnant. We have a young woman in our own church. She set herself up to have adoption, to adopt a child. And just after she was turned down for an adoption, she finds out that she's pregnant. And now she's got a wonderful child. You know, here these are miracles. These are things that God does. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Discernment is something that some people have and others don't. This is a gift that God gives. I believe the Lord has given me the gift of discernment. I can see and I understand certain things. Doctrinally and spiritually. And tongues, again, the controversial gift. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe it's a valid gift, but it's the least of the gifts, and it's the one of greatest controversy. I believe it's still in effect today, but I believe the gift of tongues is supposed to be primarily private. If you look at the scriptures, you notice that tongues is not mentioned in the Gospels only once or twice. Tongues is not really, it's practiced somewhat in the book of Acts, but it's not like a prevalent thing on a regular basis. It, you know, it's mentioned a number of times through there, but over 27 chapters over quite a number of years. And then it's only mentioned in Corinthians in a corrective manner. So it's not like we're told, oh, we better come together so we speak in tongues, you know. Again, you could set your clock by that little old lady who speaks in tongues in the third row in some churches. And then the interpretation of tongues. But notice it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It's all the Holy Spirit. And again, this list is only partial. And we see that Paul's point really is the unity of the Spirit and that there's a call for believers to practice the gifts, to come into the understanding of their gifts, to serve with the gifts of the Spirit that you've been given. You say, well, okay, Chris, great, wonderful. How do I know my gifts? I'm going to close with this illustration that might help you to define your spiritual gift. Now, it's one I've used before, but I'm going to change it up a little bit to make it more applicable to us. Let's say Dominic made us a really nice dinner. And we were all getting ready to eat this wonderful dinner. And one of the servers came and was holding a plate of baked ziti that he made. And as they walked in to serve it, they tripped over and they fell and they stumbled and dumped the baked ziti all over the floor. Now, how you respond to that in your heart, think about what you would do. And that's an indication of what some of your giftings might be. If someone had the gift of prophecy, they might say, I knew you would do that. No, not really. No, they would say, that's what happens perhaps when you're not careful. Or if someone had the gift of service, they would say, oh, let me help you clean that up. If someone had the gift of teaching, they would say, now listen, if you would just hold that dish a little bit differently and, you know, carry the weight just quite right and there'd be a little education going on there. If someone had the gift of exhortation, they'd say, you know, you should have had someone help you carry that. That was too heavy for you. If someone had the gift of giving, they'd come up and say, here's my ziti, you can have mine. If someone had the gift of mercy, they'd come and they'd say, don't feel bad. It's okay. And they'd bring comfort and put their arm around the person. The gift of ministration, they'd say, hey, listen, would you go get the mop and the vacuum and let's get this thing cleaned up? And they'd start telling people what to do. Now, each one of those gifts are all valid, right? But some of them are contrary to one another in some ways. Someone has a gift of exhortation. The word exhortation really means a spiritual kick in the pants. So if the person comes alongside and he's got the gift of exhortation and he says, you know, you really should do that differently and next time you better have somebody help you. And the guy with the person with the gift of mercy is going to go, man, are you cold? They're going to go, oh, give the guy a break, the poor little guy. And they want to bring him comfort, you see. So the person with the gift of exhortation and the person with the gift of mercy will sometimes be contrary to each other. But you just need to be patient because that person with the gift of exhortation, which is me, you need to realize they love that person just as much as you do. They just show it in a little different way, you see. And the person with the gift of exhortation needs to understand that that person with the gift of mercy who comes alongside and puts their arm around them is a really good thing for that other person. They need that kind of comfort when they've made a mistake. See? So each one of you, I can see your wheels are turning now. Okay, which one would I be? And that's a good indication of what the Lord has put in you. And be careful of judging each other on each other's gifts and expecting someone else to be and think the way you think. We all do that. We need to be careful with that. See, all these gifts are right in their own way, but all of them are there to try and minister to the situation. And of course, Dom, who has the gift of making ziti, can go make some more ziti because that one got spilled. The point is, we all have gifts. And the Holy Spirit has given them to us. And if you're a Christian, he wants to use your life. Pray that he'll show you and start being obedient. Take steps of faith. Teach a Sunday school class or be a helper. Come out to the outreach on Saturdays or come Saturdays to help clean at the church. Step up and become an usher or usherette. The Lord has a place for everyone in the body. Allow God to stretch you. The body needs you, and you will be fulfilled when you do what the Lord tells you to do. Because it's in giving that we receive. And it is more blessed to give than to receive.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCarrick. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR4646. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. Beautiful, awesome and wonderful. I give